Hi, hi.
I'm Joshua Simon.
I'm Kennedy Sung.
I'm Sam Jo.
And we are
the SG Boys,
that little gay podcast from Singapore.
Subscribe and find us on Instagram at the SG Boys.
What a month it has been.
I know, June, my favorite month.
So many things happened in June. My birthday.
Pink Dot.
Your birthday.
Pride Month.
Rachel's birthday.
Paul Abdul's birthday.
And after 15 years, we are still saying,
leave Britney alone!
Oh my god, I'm so sad. Literally when that recording of like the statement that she gave in court leaked, I was devastated. Because it was like all our worst fears about Britney and what was happening to her come true, you know?
Well, the recording was rough to listen to, but I wouldn't say I was sad. I think actually quite the opposite. I felt so relieved, I think. Mm. For many years, the Free Britney movement, which started from a podcast, two girls analyzing Britney Spears' Instagram. And for many of us in the Britney army, we've seen these signs through the years, whether it be on stage, on social media, that something is not right. And there were many times where we thought, maybe we are just conspiring and maybe Britney is okay and she's happy and we should just let her live her life. So to hear Britney like that before, and even for me as a huge fan, and I've interviewed her, I've never in my life heard Britney Spears like this before.
After I've lied and told the whole world I'm okay and I'm happy, it's a lie. I thought I just maybe I said that enough. Maybe I might become happy because I've been in denial. I've been in shock. I am traumatized. I'm not happy. I can't sleep. I'm so angry. It's insane. And I'm depressed. I just want my life back. And it's been 13 years and it's enough.
The kind of conviction that she had in her voice and speaking up like that, so brave. It's going to be something that we're going to be talking about for months to come.
Yeah. I think it was more like sad that it had come to that point. Mm. You know, when she shared all the details about what she was allowed to do, what she was not allowed to do, like the whole thing about her not even being able to take out the IUD in her, you know, to have children, you know, not even the control over her own body.
Yeah.
I thought that was really tragic. But that Britney that we heard in that recording was an empowered Britney.
Yeah.
Was a Britney who's stronger than yesterday, to quote one of her best songs. Yeah. You know what I mean?
She's not a girl anymore.
And not yet a woman until she's free from her conservatorship. She's literally was like what all those memes are doing right now, taking that first part of her I Wanna Go music video. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. Fuck you. You know?
There are all these little clues throughout her career. I think even going back to Oops, I Did It Again and listening to Lucky. Mm. She's so lucky she's a star. She cries.
Cries in her lonely heart.
Thinking.
But even for Lucky, that was like in the early days. I'm not sure if she was actually having it half as bad as she eventually would.
Nowhere near, but it was one of those like...
It was kind of like a foreshadowing of sorts. Like,
yeah.
Which I don't think even she saw coming.
Now, if you've been hearing a little bit about what's happening with Britney Spears and what's been happening around Britney Spears, that's controlling Britney Spears, she's been for the past 13 years in a conservatorship. And this is something that's designed to help the person, right? Mm-hmm. I go back to that Netflix movie, I Care a Lot, which now a lot of people are going, oh my goodness, this is eerily similar to that Thriller.
Because this is what happens when a conservatorship goes wrong.
Right?
Something that's meant to help can actually be so harmful, actually, for the person.
And insidious and sinister behind that, right? The idea of wanting to help someone who may not be able to be in charge of their own finances or their own well-being. So you appoint someone else, a court will appoint someone else, in this case, Britney's father, to be in charge of all that. For the past 13 years, however, she has been on tour after tour, Piece of Me, and then two Las Vegas residencies, albums where even as fans, we get confused. How much of it is Britney? How much of it is her backup singer, Maya Marie? She is working tirelessly and paying for everything. Even this whole situation in the court, she is paying for her father's lawyers that she's fighting with. That's how tough it's been for Britney Spears. And I think there was this moment in the leak for that recording in her conservatorship hearing where she said, all I want is for my boyfriend to drive me in his fucking car.
Yes. This was Britney who, you remember back in the day when she did press interviews, and if the host actually would blurt out an expletive, she would like cover her mouth and giggle.
Hey, y'all.
Yeah, that's not like, cool, hey, y'all. She would never say fuck. Wow, you can
tell
that.
She was angry.
She was seething. But she was calm enough to give her statement. Kudos to her. I mean, nothing must happen to Britney. I keep saying that also on my social media because, I'm sorry, she's an icon. Like, if I had to ask you to choose one Britney song now, what would it be? Your favorite song?
Well, I think Blackout is the single greatest pop album.
No, I didn't say album. I said song. You see?
Well, I think Gimme More. I would say Gimme More because the Straits love Toxic, okay? And
Britney herself loves Toxic.
She does.
She did say that if she had to perform one song for the last time, it would be Toxic.
Yeah, that was... So she said that in my interview with Britney Spears, available on YouTube.
Are you sure?
It is.
100%. No, she said it in many interviews.
Nope.
She said it in many.
She gave that as an exclusive to Joshua Simon from Singapore.
If the world was going to... and tomorrow, and you get to perform one final song to unite the world, which song of yours would you perform?
If the world was ending tomorrow, I'd fly home right now and go see my mother.
No songs.
That's what I would do. Yeah, but if I had to sing a song, I would sing Toxic.
Toxic. All right, if you could go back to being 8 years old again, before Baby One More Time and the Mickey Mouse Club, would you do it all over again, or would you do something else?
Oh, that's a very good question. I don't know. I'm very thankful and blessed for the life that I've been given, you know, but sometimes I do wonder what it would be like and what I would be like if I wasn't, you know, famous. Because I've been doing this at such a young age. It's all I've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of people who are very wise can take it with a grain of salt. But at this time of my life, it was very... hard for me.
That's a very good question then.
I would say Gimme More because that was recorded and released at a really tough time for Britney Spears.
Mm.
Her tumultuous relationship with the media, with paparazzi. All you want is more, more, more. You're never satisfied, right? We have a guest that's going to be joining us really soon. But first, how did you celebrate your birthday, Sandro?
Actually, I had plans for a very quiet birthday this year. 33. It's not like a special number or anything. I mean, I went all out for my 30th, but 33 is like, okay. I cut cake at home with my family in the day, and then some friends told me to keep that evening free. So I thought, okay, we're probably like just going to have dinner or whatever, right? But I showed up at their place, and, you know, a bunch of them rent a place together, and there was an entire surprise waiting for me. I didn't see it coming. It was like a fashion review / trivia extravaganza that was very much themed around me, which was weird. Basically did like a runway a la RuPaul's Drag Race, and the category was Night of a Thousand Sam Joes. Yeah, so it was like me in different forms, like on the runway. I thought that was super sweet, and then we did a trivia night, so I thought that was quite cute. And some friends actually dialed in on Zoom to take part. Enough about me. How about you? How did you celebrate your birthday? Because your birthday was June 12th, which was also Pink Dot.
Yeah, it was during our heightened alert phase in Singapore. It was another mini lockdown situation that we had in Singapore. And I was a bit bummed out because I turned 30, which was like a significant number, right, that you want to celebrate a birthday for last year.
Mm.
And then I thought this year, okay, things are opening up. And then boop, boop. Right?
Yeah.
So I was really bummed out, but I called all that expectations. I do the same thing every year now. I just say a prayer. I tell myself at midnight, I say a prayer, I get on my knees, and I thank God for the life that I have. And my prayer this year was to experience more, whatever more may be. Is it pain? Is it joy? Is it knowledge, insight about the world, understanding about who I am and the people around me as well, that deepening of that understanding? I just want to experience more. I want to stay a little bit longer on Earth. And I've shared a little bit about my past of suicidal ideation. So that, to me, it's already a triumph for me to say, like, I want to be alive a little bit longer. And my actual birthday itself, I actually had my first sort of big fight with my boyfriend on my birthday.
Oh, no.
However, right before midnight.
You had birthday sex. What? There was a big however, no, so I thought that would be the best way to like kiss and make up.
Well, the last
kiss,
hour.
Kiss and make up.
That last hour was an hour of reconciliation, of us declaring and affirming each other that, you know, we are in this together, we're going to figure this thing out. And I told him at the end of it, I just said, this is exactly what I pray for. If this birthday was 100% perfect and we just like met and you surprised me and we went to some like Michelin star restaurant and had a wonderful dinner and all my friends were there, you know, that it wouldn't be real, because my life hasn't been that way. The fact that we had our first fight, but we also got through our first fight and we became stronger on my birthday. And we had an hour to ourselves where we could just take a walk by a lake and just talk. Mm. That was really beautiful. So my birthday this year was very interesting. It was like a realization at like 1 a.m. Like, oh, that was exactly what I prayed for. And that was what I got.
Getting into a relationship is one thing, but keeping it going is a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least I've been told. I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you had great birthday sex.
I think it's also sort of a reminder of when you ask for
He's
something.
Neither confirming nor denying it, by the way. Guys,
when
just
you,
so you know,
when
you listen between the lines.
When you ask from the universe, when you dream, it's a very powerful thing. What often happens is the universe tests you. It's like, you won, right? You say you won this, right? Let's see if you can handle it. You know? So I think that was a good lesson for me. Also, Pink Dot was absolutely stellar this year.
Yeah.
Once again, we had a virtual light up across the city, seeing pink little lights, fairy lights all over the country. That was absolutely beautiful as well. And also, I realized that this year, I don't know if it's just sort of the work that we're doing with the SG Boys podcast, but we have been engaged quite consistently to do talks for companies who are saying, you know, we want to make this year the year that we stand with the LGBTQ plus community and we want to make that public. We've been doing talks. I did one on allyship. What's performative allyship or rainbow washing or pink washing compared to, say, a strong companion in this fight together, right?
Yeah.
What that actually mean. So I gave a talk to a couple of companies on that. I did a Clubhouse chat with people from India. Yesterday, I did a chat with FIS, Filipinos in Singapore. Mm. So that was also another incredible community that I got to know of as well, who said, we want to understand what you're going through. We want to listen and we want to also share our resources and our platform. So I think that's been incredible. And I think also last week's chat with Back at the Bus also was a very, very insightful one that I'm still thinking about. Well, what happens when a company says, I want to stand with you? What is actually useful? What do we actually need in this repeal movement? Or
and what more should we be thinking about?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's fine and dandy to be comfortable with the status quo.
Yeah.
But as Britney Spears once said, give me more. Everything goes back to Britney Spears.
Everything.
No, but some things you should be giving more, especially during Pride Month. Like, the spotlight is on the LGBTQ community and we don't want to for a second, like, you know, take it for granted and say that everything's okay, because, like, you know, as much as, sure, our lives may not be terrible in many ways, like being in Singapore, right? We are very fortunate in many ways, but it's also not ideal. Like, you know, there are many things that we ought to be fighting for and we continue to fight for.
I think with these talks, the private ones are the ones that I find quite fascinating, because these are companies that are saying, we have our weekly meetings amongst ourselves, but we would love for you to join us so we can learn before we even do anything.
Right.
And I think that's incredible as well. It all starts from within the company, hiring people from the community, giving them the resources to affirm their sexuality and identity, making it a comfortable workplace environment for them to also come out and be themselves. And from there, move forward with how can we now engage with the community. And it's not just a PR campaign. It's something that goes beyond Pride Month.
And continue having all those difficult, tricky conversations about intersectionalities. Yes, it's about being out and proud, but also realizing that it may not be that case for everyone, and that a lot of people are still struggling. Maybe it's not in your country, in your backyard, but it could be somewhere else in the world. And more than ever, like, you know, your support and your allyship counts for a lot.
Speaking of tricky discussions, race is something that we have been conversing a lot about in this month of June with various incidents. If you're living in Singapore, you're well aware of what's been the hot topic after hot topic after hot topic. And exactly that hot topic is the reason why I have, in my own personal capacity and decision, to not engage at this very moment, because for me, it's not a hot topic. For me, this is something that I've been feeling for many years. And I have for many years talked about the situation of race in Singapore and my experience as a brown person. I just felt exhausted. So we will discuss this.
We must.
We absolutely will discuss this, but this topic is not going to go away. And exactly that hot topic, it is not just a hot topic of the day kind of thing. I want to have this discussion. I've always wanted to have this discussion about what it's like being a brown queer person in Singapore. We have a guest planned when we cover this episode, and I also just need to cool down a little bit, because when I saw these incidents happening, that the first instinct for me, or that first emotion that kind of came out of me, was anger. And I don't know about you and you, dear listener, but I don't handle anger very well. I'm not typically a very angry person, and when I am angry, I'm a very different person. It's a very different Josh, and I don't like being angry. So I have been trying to figure out where to place that anger, because sort of unchecked anger, you take it through the rest of your day beyond the topic of discussion, and it can be very, very unhealthy. So I've also, shout out to Kishan from T42. T42 did a fantastic episode on this topic, racism.
Yeah,
please go check it out. I think it's one of their most powerful episodes. I had a Zoom call with Kishan the day after they released that episode, just to hear how he's doing, to check in on him as a brother, as well as to learn from him as well, because I was feeling all these things. I wanted to speak, but I am trying to practice knowing what I want to say before speaking. So that's where I'm at right now. We will cover this topic soon, okay? In time. Right now, though, we have a little surprise for everyone listening.
What kind of a surprise? Because y'all probably already read it in the description. But let's just pretend, pretend you forgot what you were listening to, and then this is the surprise.
I had the honor and privilege this week to have a little Zoom call with one of...
Oh my god, is it Britney Spears? It's not. I thought surprise was for me. Okay, sorry, continue.
I had the honor and privilege this week to interview one of the most inventive artists in music today. She has a brand new album out now called Daddy's Home. Here are some highlights from my interview with Saint Vincent.
I'm not sure if you're aware of what the situation is like in Singapore, but for many years now, there is a law that criminalizes sex between men in public or in private. It's been that way for a very, very long time. So for me to do a gay podcast like that is a huge leap of faith. We are trying to repeal that law. Unfortunately, we also are not allowed to have any positive portrayals of LGBTQ plus people in the media, on newspapers or radio or TV. So if I may, because I, whenever I do interviews, if the artist is willing, I try to ask if you can offer some advice or some encouragement to your fans here in not just Singapore, but I think in Southeast Asia. This is like a thing that affects us a lot.
I would just say you're special and beautiful, and you have nothing to be ashamed of, and I'm sorry you're in this predicament, and you're incredibly brave for doing what you're doing. I know that you will change it. Like, I know that you will be one part of a greater change, and by doing so you will create way less human suffering, and that's the best thing.
Yeah, how you live your authentic life and how it's reported here as well, all that makes things a lot easier. I just want you to know that things are different in the other side of the world.
My god. Well, you guys are incredibly brave. It's an honor. And you know what? I just watched this film called The Celluloid Closet. It was made a number of years, probably in the 90s, but it's about gay tropes as in Hollywood portrayals, how it went from a sort of unspoken thing to then gay men could only be silly and that was okay. But and then how it gradually turned into, you know, people actually showing sexuality, like not just innuendo. And then how for the longest time there couldn't be a gay person in a movie without them, like with them in ending in suicide. Like, okay, you can be gay, but you're going to meet a tragic end. And because the film was made in the 90s, obviously there's a lot it hasn't covered, because it hasn't, you know, there's been a lot of change since then, but it's really interesting to watch the evolution of gay portrayals in Hollywood. And it is nice too, in a way, even though it's incredibly sad and inane and difficult, it's nice to watch kind of the slow arc toward progress. And it was slow.
Yeah.
But it happened, you know?
Yeah. And I hope it does here too, because we have that exact same problem, and that's where we are at right now, where no positive but negative is allowed. So you would have a gay character on like a free-to-air TV channel where the only reason he's there is because the main character's husband cheated on the wife to go with this guy, but then this guy is ashamed of his sexuality, and then he ends up transmitting HIV to so it's all these negative portrayals that is allowed, that passes through the censorship board, but two guys holding hands even gets a hard R21. So like Love, Simon, which is a PG-13 film, is
That's like a kids movie.
That's R21 here. So like it's the highest, like an NC-17 in the US.
But yeah, you doing what you're doing is so brave and will definitely be part of a change, because it will change. It must change with increased visibility, destigmatizing all that stuff, getting images of LGBTQ people in whose lives don't end in ruin, you know, happy lives and healthy relationships and a bright future.
It's nice, I guess, to, you know, have all these, I know this is a Singaporean podcast, but it's so nice to have, to know that we are somewhat like not in a silo and we're not alone.
Yeah.
And we have other people in other parts of the world also rooting for us.
Yeah.
The same way Tyra rooted for Tiffany all those years ago. We're rooting for you. How dare you?
There was this interview I did with Shangela, and I told her about Section 377A, which till that point she was unfamiliar about that law, right? And she said something in the lines of, as long as one person out there is oppressed, we're all oppressed. Yeah, we're not disconnected from the West to the East, whatever. Like, what you're going through here, we have every right to hear about it.
And one person's discrimination is another person's discrimination. Yeah. It's the same way, you know, we talk about allyship, you know, across in all its forms, right? You know, it doesn't just have to be allyship for the queer community. What do you do? Do you, like, when you witness discrimination happening or injustice happening, do you just like sit back and keep quiet, or do you actually stand up, show solidarity, stand up in solidarity, you know, and do something about it?
Yeah.
Which is why I also think it links back to like Pink Dot and how beautiful it is, because technically a lot of it is to try and repeal 377A. And we talked about this with Jamie also, who was on our previous episode. What does it mean to her as a lesbian when technically as a woman, like, you know, the law doesn't tell her whom she can sleep or cannot sleep with
directly, right?
You know, it's a law that's pretty much targeted at homosexual men. And I remember her response was, because we're all part of the same community and this like larger LGBTQ family, yes, granted we have our differences from time to time, and Lord knows we can't always agree on everything, maybe certain use of certain words. But yeah, at the end of the day, like, you know, she kind of like brought up what Shangela said also, like, you know, as long as one of us in this extended community, as long as one of us is being persecuted, the rest of us are not entirely free from it.
Yeah.
That kind of prejudice lives on in other forms. Someone may not be telling you who you can sleep or cannot sleep with, but they can also be judging you on how you look. They can be judging you on who you hold hands with, who you choose to kiss in public.
Yeah.
It's all fucked up.
Finally, we want to give a big shout out to the BBC, and we want to show love to every person who's listening to this podcast, who discovered it from that BBC article that went viral.
Yeah, and that video as well, which Tessa Wong, the journalist, put together so nicely. Thanks for, you know, sharing a little bit of what we do.
Yeah.
And we hope to get more of you on, whoever it is that's listening. Thanks for joining us on this journey, because we're only just getting started.
Yeah.
And we promise you, there's more to come. Give me more, give me
more. The SG Boys.
That little gay podcast from Singapore.
Subscribe and find us on Instagram at The SG Boys.
The beliefs, views, and opinions expressed on this podcast are attributable to its hosts only and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, organization, company, or individual.